This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Think back to when you were 5 or 6 years old. You were laying on your bed in your room and you were afraid of the dark. And it was just like this. And how you were laying there and you thought, man, wouldn't it be awesome if I just had a flashlight? Wouldn't that be great if I could shine it in my closet and check on those monsters that live there? Or I'd love to be able to shine it underneath my bed to make sure that those hands aren't reaching up and going to grab me in the leg at any moment in time. You all know what I'm talking about. We've all been there as kids. In fact, it was just this week that my 9-year-old daughter said, Dad, can I have a nightlight for my birthday because I'm still afraid of the dark. You know, she was kind of disappointed in herself that I'm 9, but yet I'm still afraid of the dark. And the reality is each and every one of us have something inside of us that says the darkness is bad, that we don't want to be in darkness, we want to be in light. So Dane, would you go ahead and bring the lights up right now so that we don't continue to scare people? You see, we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks this whole idea of light and darkness. And all throughout the Bible, there's these stories and pictures and illustrations of what light is and what darkness is. And so we've been talking a lot about that. And for those of you who haven't been here the last couple of weeks, let me kind of recap for you what we've talked about so far. First of all, we started off by saying that the world is full of darkness. And the Bible describes this darkness as sin. In other words, each and every one of us have sin in our life. And as a result, this sin kind of engulfs us in darkness and blackness, in struggles and frustrations and difficulties. And we're all longing to get out of the darkness and we're looking for that light to shine through and to bring us hope, to bring us comfort, to bring us security and safety and assurance. And what we talked about 2 weeks ago was that Jesus Christ is that light of the world. God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to be light for us in the dark places of our own personal life as well as in our whole world. And Jesus is the Savior of all of us. And his light overcomes darkness, it overcomes sin, and it casts light everywhere that Jesus shines. And that's what we talked about that first week. And we said, you know what, each and every one of us have an opportunity to receive that light of Jesus Christ. And once we've received the light of Jesus, now the next step, what we talked about last week, was we need to live that light. We need to live every moment of our day as if Jesus is inside of us. We need to go into the world with confidence, knowing that Jesus lives inside of us. He is that light. Jesus said it this way in the book of Matthew chapter 5. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Do you understand the power of what Jesus said there? Throughout the Bible, Jesus says of himself that he is the light of the world, and now he shifts his focus to us, and he says, wait a minute, you are the light of the world. You are me. You are my hands, my feet, my representatives, my ambassadors in this world. And I want to shine brightly, and the way I do that is through each and every one of you that has accepted me, that has me living inside of you. And so now that's our role to play. After we receive the light, we are to live the light. And then finally, Jesus says, now that you live the light, I want you to share this light on purpose, intentionally, proactively, with each and every person that you come in contact with. That's our final role in this mission, in this purpose that Jesus has given us. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. How can we share this light with the world? How do we do this? That's the question on each of our minds right now. How, Paul, do I really share the light with others? Because if we're honest, so many of us say, you know what, I feel inadequate. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And I'm a little bit nervous about it. And the reality is that Jesus says, don't worry. I'm with you. I'll help you out. There's another scripture I want us to look at. It's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And in this passage, it talks again about everything we've been talking about receiving the light, living the light, and ultimately sharing the light. And it answers that question of how do we share the light with the world? Let's listen to what it says. Ephesians 5, 8 through 16. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. And this is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. I want you right now to circle or underline that last phrase, make the most of every opportunity. You see, that's the answer to the question. How do we share the light with the world? We make the most of every opportunity. We take advantage of each and every opportunity that God puts in our paths, that God gives us. And I believe that we'll have an opportunity almost every single day of our lives to share the light with people we come in contact with. Sometimes it'll be something that we have to say. Verbally, we'll have to say something to someone to encourage them or point them in the way of Jesus. But many times it won't be anything we say. It'll just simply be how we live, how we treat other people, how we respond when other people treat us in certain ways. All those are examples and ways in which we can share the light with others. It's taking advantage of the opportunities God places in front of us. There's a story of a guy in the Bible, seemingly just an average, ordinary guy. His name is Philip. But Philip was given an opportunity to share the light of Jesus with a very specific person in a specific way and make a huge impact in the history of Christianity. And I want us to look at his story and learn from his story. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you right now to open up to the book of Acts, chapter 8. I'm going to be reading verses 26 through 39. This is a story of a guy named Philip and his encounter with someone called the Ethiopian eunuch. Listen to his story. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.'" So here's the story. We meet Philip, and the Lord speaks to him and says, "I want you to go do something for me." He says, "All right." He sees the picture. It's this very important Ethiopian official who's gone to Jerusalem on kind of a pilgrimage, and he's searching out for something. He's looking for significance and meaning and purpose. And on his way back home, he stops in his chariot to start reading something from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. And it's there that God says to Philip, "Just go over to that chariot." You notice he doesn't say, "Go over and say this," or "Do that," or "Here's exactly what I want you to do." He's vague, but he just says, "Seize this opportunity and go there." In the next verse, verse 30, we see what Philip does. This is interesting. It says, Philip ran to the chariot. He didn't just walk over there. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't scared. He seized the opportunity, and he went at it full bore. He ran to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you were reading?" Philip asked. "Well, how can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Is it himself or is it someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. You see, Philip didn't have a plan. He didn't know exactly what he was going to do. He didn't know exactly what he was going to say. He just obeyed God, took advantage of the situation, and just said the first thing that came natural to him. "Hey, what are you reading? I can see you're reading there. What is it you're reading?" The man said, "Hey, I need some help with this." And he said, "Yeah, I'll be more than happy to help you." And there took on a spiritual conversation, a spiritual encounter between someone who was a follower of Christ, had the light of the world, and someone who did not. And let's look at how the story ends. Verse 36, "As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him.
When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Now, this story is very significant for a number of reasons. One, in that day and time, Ethiopia was probably the southernmost known part of the world. You would have said that's as far south as you can go, is Ethiopia in Africa. And so it was very significant that this man came all the way from the southernmost part of the world at the time. Philip got to share with this man, and what history leads us to believe is that up until this time, almost nobody on the continent of Africa knew about Jesus Christ, had heard the message. And when Philip shared the light with this one important official, we know that this official went back to his hometown, went back to his country of Ethiopia, and over the course of the next few hundred years, the message of Jesus spread all throughout the continent of Africa. And it probably was because of one man sharing the light with one other man, and that man then taking it and sharing it, and it just growing and growing and multiplying and multiplying. Very cool story. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's probably what I think a lot of times. Yeah, that's a Bible story. You know, that's a guy in the Bible who had an angel visit him. There were some miraculous events that were going on. I could never do that. I could never be that guy. I'm just a regular, ordinary person. You know, I've thought that myself many times when I've read Bible stories. But I want to let you know, we can do these types of things. Philip was just a regular person, just like each and every one of us. In fact, when I was reading this story, it reminded me of an encounter and experience that I had almost a year ago. Think back to last year at Easter. How many of you are here for our Easter series entitled The Warrior? Any of you here for that? Raise your hands. Do you remember that one guy who was playing the drum, that taiko drummer? If that guy was cool, make some noise right now. That guy was awesome. Man, that guy was amazing. I remember coming here on Saturday early because I was involved in the services that weekend. I got here Saturday and I was watching him warm up and practice. And there was this guy playing these drums, amazing dude, for those of you who weren't here. And I said to the guy, one of my friends who leads all the programming department, I said, Joe, who's that guy playing the drums? Does he go to our church? He said, no, that's a guy named Ken. I said, well, where did you find that guy? He goes, you know, there's almost no taiko drummers in the entire state of Arizona. We had to search forever to find this guy. I said, well, wow, that's really cool that guy's here to be with us this entire weekend of Easter. He must be a really strong Christian to give up his entire weekend to join us. And Joe said, Paul, he's not a Christian. I mean, we had to pay that guy to get him here. I said, okay, well, that's kind of cool. And we got talking a little bit more about it, and I thought, how neat would it be that if this one guy came to join us over the weekend and was involved in one of the biggest weekends of the entire year for Christianity, and yet he himself didn't believe in Christ, how cool would it be if through his experiences this weekend, if maybe he accepted Christ and became a believer, if we had an opportunity to share the light with him? And so a few of us started praying backstage, and for each of the services, we would just, every now and then if we thought of it, we would pray for Ken. I would get to meet Ken backstage a couple times. I started talking to him, and we had a lot in common because, you know, when he had his shirt off, all his muscles, he looked a lot like me. I mean, we had, I was like, man, you and I, we work out at the same gym. No, that guy was ripped. Well, I mean, he was awesome. He was huge. He played those drums. It was an amazing thing. And, you know, we just had a lot of guy talk, just chit-chat. I got to know him a little bit, find out his name was Ken, talk to him. And then on Sunday, there was this experience that I had that reminded me so much of this story that I just read to you. It was Sunday in between our first two services. And backstage, we have a little dressing area where some people can change clothes. And then beyond that is our restrooms, all in the backstage area. And I was going to use the restroom in between services. And I went in through the first door into where our dressing room was. And there was Ken sitting over in the corner with a Bible open. And he was reading the Bible. And he had our sermon notes right there in front of him. And in just the milliseconds as I was walking through there to go into the bathroom, I thought of this very passage of scripture that I just read. I thought, wow, how ironic is that? In the Bible, Philip was reaching out to a foreigner, a person of different nationality who knew nothing of Christ, but yet had some scripture, and he was reading it. And here is this guy, a different nationality than us, and he's reading the Bible, and he doesn't know anything about it. He's not a believer. And I went into the bathroom, and as I was in there using the restroom, I was just thinking, is this something I need to act on? Do I need to do something about this? Is this what we've been praying for over the course of the last 2 days? God, are you wanting me to seize this opportunity and say something? I was nervous, yet I was excited. And I got done using the bathroom, and I washed my hands, because we're supposed to do that when we're done using the bathroom. Washed my hands, not to spread any germs. Went back out the door, and there was Ken, and I said, I'm going to go for it. And so I walked over to him, approached him, and just looked over his shoulder and said, hey, Ken, how's it going? He said, hey, Paul, how's it going? I said, good. I said, what are you reading? He said, well, I'm reading the Bible. And he had his sermon notes out. I still have those notes. And he was reading this particular section. He said, I got a question about this. I don't really understand this right here.
It was Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, where it says, where Jesus is saying, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And Ken said, "You know what, I've always thought that this guy Jesus I've heard people talk about was like supposed to be a peaceful guy, like a gentle guy, like a nice guy. And you guys have been talking about this whole warrior thing and him bringing a sword. I don't really get this. I don't understand it." I said, "Would you care if I talk to you about it?" He said, "No, I'd love to talk about it." And so over the course of the next 20 minutes, we sat there together, and I had the opportunity to share the light of Jesus Christ with Ken. Now, I'd love to tell you that the story ended just like the Bible, where I took him out after all the services out to the baptistry, and I dunked him in there, and now he's a Christian, and he plays drums and preaches Jesus everywhere he goes. That's not the case. That didn't happen. But you know what? I seized that moment in time. I took advantage of that opportunity that I believe God placed in front of me, and I got to share the light with him. Now, you know what? It's up to God and Ken to work that out and decide what Ken wants to do about that and where that's going to go in his life. But I share that story with you to share that the things that happen in the Bible can still happen today. Those types of stories are real. And Philip was an ordinary person. I'm an ordinary person. And you can do these same types of things. And I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, "But come on, Paul, you're like one of those pastor guys. You know, you're a preacher. You get paid to do that stuff. You know all the answers. You've been to school. I mean, you've done it a lot of times. You're not afraid. What about me? I'm new, or I don't know as much, or what if I mess it up?" I know that's what a lot of you are thinking. I want to let you know that I'm an average, ordinary person just like you. And yes, maybe you won't have an exact experience like that behind the stage of a church with somebody who was up on stage before, but there are situations and there are circumstances and opportunities that each and every one of us can take advantage of each and every day. Let me give you another example. One of the things that I love to do is go to movies. I don't know if you like to go to movies, but I really enjoy going to movies. A couple of months ago, I was sitting in the movie theater, and I love to see the previews to see what's coming up, and it was previewing this movie called The Book of Eli. How many of you have seen The Book of Eli? Raise your hands. Okay, not a lot of you, but a few of you have. It's a movie with Denzel Washington, and it's set kind of like in a post-apocalyptic time period, and there's all kinds of like knives and guns and fighting. So it's like knives, guns, fighting, Denzel Washington, I'm in. I want to see that. I like that type of stuff. And you know what? My son enjoys that type of stuff. So I'm like, I want to take my son to see this movie. My son's only 13. I know some of you are thinking, "Oh my gosh, how irresponsible taking your 13-year-old son to a movie like that." Well, maybe, maybe not. But here's the point. I took my son to this movie for a reason, for a purpose, because I sensed when I watched that preview that something was different about this movie. And for those of you who haven't seen the movie, I'm not going to give it away. I want to encourage you to go see it. But here's why. I believe this movie provides myself and each and every one of us with a unique opportunity to have a spiritual conversation with someone. Because this movie, although it's probably not a Christian movie by any means, has spiritual things in it. And I want to tell you that after watching this entire movie with my son last Saturday, right before church, after the movie was over, we sat in the theater for about 10 to 15 minutes and had one of the most significant spiritual conversations that my son and I have ever had. It was a great time, something that we'll both remember. And it was all because I took advantage of this movie that the world put out, but took advantage of it, spun it in a certain way to say, "Wait a minute, I think there's some things we can learn spiritually about this," and challenged him and got to share some of what I believe about Jesus Christ with him as a result of this movie. Very cool experience. As we're walking out, we thought we were the last ones in there because we'd been talking like for 10 or 15 minutes. As we're walking out, somebody comes up behind me. It's a lady and her older son. And she says, "Pastor Paul?" And like, I hate it when I'm called Pastor Paul, but I'm just like, "Paul." But she's like, "Pastor Paul?" And I thought, okay, what does that mean? And she says, "That is you, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Well, I'm getting ready to go to church. I know it's Saturday, but I'm leaving right here and going to church." She's like, "I know, and I saw you in this movie. Am I in trouble for seeing this movie?" She thought like I was going to condemn her for watching this movie. She said, "Well, what did you think about the movie?" And I said, "I thought that movie was awesome." She goes, "Oh, good, so did I." And she said, "My son and I, we've had this amazing conversation after watching this movie, and what do you think about it?" And so as we're walking out, from the time we walked all the way out to the parking lot, we talked with them for another 5 or 10 minutes. This movie spurred on a spiritual conversation. It gave us an opportunity to share what we believed with one another. I've since talked to a couple of my friends. One of my friends is a Christian guy, and he invited a non-Christian friend to go see the same movie, The Book of Eli, with him, and they didn't know much about the movie at all. And my friend said after the movie was over, there was so much to talk about that for 30 minutes, he and his non-Christian friend talked about spiritual things, and it had opened a door where there had never been an opportunity or a door to talk about that. So I want to encourage you right now There's an opportunity that's out there in front of you. I challenge you, maybe even the next couple of weeks, to take a friend, a relative, a coworker, a neighbor, pay their way to this movie, and I almost guarantee you it will give you an opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ in an exciting way. Now, I warn you up front, there's a lot of violence in the movie, and there's a lot of cussing in the movie. And why do I still condone this movie or say it's okay? This year, I'm trying to read through the entire Bible. I try to do that every now and then. And I've read through the entire book of Genesis already. And in just this one book of Genesis in the Bible, I've encountered, as I've read it, rape, murder, adultery, incest, lying, deceit, stealing, and the list goes on and on. All that stuff is in the Bible. And so if that stuff's in the Bible, I think it's all right to say that that stuff is in the world today. So I'm not condoning the act of violence or cursing or anything like that, but go to the movie, go to it with an open mind, but most importantly, take someone with you and seize the opportunity to have a spiritual conversation with someone. That's a practical thing that each and every one of us can do. So there we go. We've talked about the basic point of what we're talking about today, sharing the light. How do I do it? It's simply seizing the moments, the opportunities that God places before us each and every day. So as we wrap this up and kind of apply it to our life in a personal way, there's one final question we have to ask. Why should we do this? Because I know that's what a lot of you are saying. Why should I really do this, Paul? Isn't this the job of the church or you pastors? Isn't really my job just to invite people to church? And then the church's role and responsibility is to talk to them about Jesus or share the light of Jesus with the world. Isn't that why the church exists or all the pastors? And I want to let you know, I think each and every one of us have a personal responsibility to share the light with the world. Jesus didn't say the church is the light of the world. He said you are the light of the world. You and me, each and every one of us. Now, why should we do this? Why do we need to have that personal responsibility instead of leaving it all up to the church? Because as we've talked about a lot around here, the church has lost its home field advantage. You know that my dad's been saying for the last couple of weeks that 85% of all the people that live in Phoenix don't go to church. Way more people don't go to church than do go to church. And statistics show that they're probably never going to. They don't want to. I looked up some other research this week, and in the USA Today did a survey back in 2008, just 2 years ago. Here's what they found. They also found that 86% of all unchurched people believe they can have a good relationship with God without belonging to a church. Do you see what they're saying there? 86% of people that don't go to church say, I don't need to go to church. I don't want to go to church. God and I, we can still have a good relationship. We can still be friends. I can still connect with him. I don't need the church for that. They don't see the church as important or relevant in their life anymore. But the amazing thing is, listen to what else the survey found. It found that 78% of those same people said they would be willing to listen to someone tell them what they believed about Christianity. Did you catch that? These people said, I'm not going to go to church, but you know what? Don't invite me. But if you want to talk to me about Jesus or the church or Christianity, I'm willing to listen to you. People are saying today, I want to talk about this. I want to dialogue on this. I want to get some feedback on this, but I don't want to go to church. Now, if you don't believe me that this is real, let me share one last story with you. Monday, I was at Rubio's over where I live at Lake Pleasant and Happy Valley Road. There's a group of four of us guys. We meet there almost every Wednesday to study the Bible together, pray together, talk about life. So we were meeting there this Monday for an hour, and when we were done, we were all leaving the restaurant. And as I was walking out, there was a guy waving at me through the glass window. Like, he was like, wait 1 minute, wait a minute. I've never met this guy in my life before. I've never seen him. He comes out the door, and he goes, aren't you that Paul guy from church? Well, it's better than Pastor Paul, that Paul guy. I'll take that. So aren't you that Paul guy from church? I'm like, yeah. Do I know you? No, you don't know me, but I used to go to your church a long time ago. I haven't gone to church in a while, but would you pray for me? He's like, what do you mean? He goes, would you pray for me? I go, sure. No, right now. Would you pray for me right now? I mean, here on the sidewalk? Okay, sure. He goes, let me tell you my story, man. I mean, I've never met this guy before. He took the next 5 minutes to tell me about his life, about how he hasn't had a job for a long time, and it's ruined his marriage, and he's really struggling. His self-esteem is down, and he's just in a state of despair. And he's like, man, I just want you to pray for me. I said, absolutely, I'll pray for you. So right there on the sidewalk, I just put my hand on his shoulder and I spent a couple moments just praying for him. After it was over, I talked with him for a little while, gave him a little bit more advice. He said thank you, and he just went back into the restaurant and sat back down with his wife, and I went on my way. I don't know if we'll ever see that guy again, but that guy is the statistics. What was he saying? He's saying, I haven't been to church in a long time, and I don't know if I'll go back, but I would love for you to pray for me. I would love to talk to someone about Jesus. I need some help. In other words, he was screaming out what we were talking about. My life is dark. I have darkness in my life. I have issues, and I need some light. And for a brief few moments, I was able to share some light with him. That type of thing can happen for each and every one of us, but we've got to be willing to get out of our comfort zone. We've got to be willing to take a step and share the light with people that we come in contact with. And what I've learned from that scenario and what I've been learning over the last couple of years is this, is that the church has now become the visiting team in America, and there's so many people that are never going to come to church, and yet we continue just to say, let's bring people to church, let's invite people to church. And we act as if it's the church's job to share the light, and so many of us are afraid and scared and don't feel convicted to share the light with people on a one-on-one basis. I've been there in my own life personally. In other words, people, they don't want to go to our church, but they are willing to talk about Jesus. I've gotten very convicted on this on a personal level, and I just want to share with you what I'm going to be doing and just challenge you maybe to think about trying something like this in your own particular way. Christ Church of the Valley has been my church since I was 12 years old when my mom and dad and a few others started this church, and I love this church. This church has been awesome for me and for thousands of people in our community, yet 85% of people will never come in these doors. And I've been convicted that, you know what, maybe we need to do something different to reach those 85% of people that would never come here. And so God's put a burden on my heart. This next year, I'm going to leave my comfort zone. I'm going to leave Christ Church of the Valley. I'm going to step out of this comfortable place that I've come to know and love. And I'm going to engage those 85% of people that live in my particular community, and I'm going to start a church right out where I live. I'm going to take a lot of the things that I've learned about neighborhood ministry in our area and take that to the next level. And instead of asking people to come to our church to hear and experience and see the light of Jesus, I'm going to go right out to where they're at. I'm going to go into their world, into their place. And so I'm no longer going to be called Pastor Paul. I'm going to drop the pastor thing for a while. And yes, I'll still be involved in the church. I'll still be working at this church I'm at. But I'm going to become a businessman in my community. I'm just going to say, hey, I'm just like each and every one of you that live around me. I have a job just like all of the rest of you in the regular world. And so I'm going to start a business in my community. And that business is going to be open Monday through Saturday. And then I'm going to use that business as a place to also be a church on Sunday. And I'm going to try to engage my community where it's at. Each and every one of us can do that. Now, do you want me to tell you what that business is, what I'm going to do? Would you like to know? All right, come back in a month and I'll tell you. So the bottom line is, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. I'm applying this sermon to my life. I'm going to try to share the light of Jesus with my particular community where I live. And today, I challenge you, I dare you to step out of your comfort zone, to realize that you have Jesus living inside of you. It's a light that's burning brightly. And don't put it under a bowl. Don't hide it. Don't be embarrassed about it. Don't be afraid of it. Let that light shine through you. And see, it is your personal responsibility to share the light of Jesus with whoever God puts in front of your path each and every day. Join me in prayer. God, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. He is and was the light of the world. He brought purpose and meaning and hope to a dark and depressing place. And God, at times each of us are swallowed up in our own sin, and it just makes us feel like we're in that dark room again with no hope and no light. But Jesus, we know that you came to cure all that, to fix all that, and that you really are the true hope of the world. You're the light of the world, and we realize that now. And God, we want to let you know that we will make a commitment this next year to take your light to the world, no matter how scared we are, how afraid we are, how maybe inadequate we may feel. We're going to give it our best shot, and we trust that you're going to be right there with us to help us out, to be on our side, to guide us each and every step of the way. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen.